Hello, everybody. The following is a recorded discussion of the Daily Maxims and More for January 16th, 2011. Today, the maxims we discussed were over precedence.
Magna Carta and English Law. This is from a book, Life, Liberty, and Property by Charles A. Wiseman, starting on page 12. And this is actually was maxims sent out January 16th, 2011. And in particular, it's called Magna Carta and English Law. I'll just read it and then come back over it. To better understand the meaning of the concept of the law of the land and how it protects rights of life, liberty, and property, a study of English history is required. It is in English history that we find the first definite mention of the law of the land. This occurs with the Magna Carta document in 1215. Of the 63 articles which make up the document, the most famous is the 39th, which states, "No free man shall be taken or imprisoned or dispossessed or outlawed or banished or in any way destroyed. No one will go upon him nor send upon him, except by the legal judgment of his peers, or by the law of the land." By the 39th chapter, and is that word correct, 39th chapter? All persons are guaranteed that they will not be arrested, jailed, imprisoned, deprived of their property, dispossessed, or condemned for a crime, outlawed unless it be by judicial trial by jury or per legem terrae, by the law of the land. What then is this law? It is in essence the pre-established law in the land of England. Now, when it came to, that's the end of the writing. May I add, when it came to having to deal with what has since occurred in our systems, where they have begun to use admiralty law, or the law of the sea, so to speak, we now say your sovereign's on dry land, so that we can say you're subject to the law of the land and not the law of the sea. A recent move in Congress was to say that they will accept the UN being in charge of the law of the sea and that we were going to put the United States under it. That is a risky business in terms of sovereignty. But it is interesting Mr. Wiseman is referring to articles in one place and chapter in another. I just think that's might be a little confusing to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's intentional or what the purpose of that is. But I think he's still referring to the 39th, which we just read. We have since modified sort of trial by jury, and now in our thinking and talking about it, to where we refer to things like due process. Now, it may be that due process is the word and phrase that has grown up in the statutory jurisdiction to make up for the judicial trial by jury, where it can be done by another process. And in our case, in doing what we do with regard to the freedom documents, that's good. You don't have to go to a trial by jury. There is a due process procedure that is available, that is the law of the forum. You're able to do it. But the law of the land is distinctly different than statutory corporate law, because it's policy. it's very difficult for them to call them law. Any questions on that?
No.
The Magna Carta is where we get our right to convene as a grand jury, because it is a provision that says, well, how do we handle disputes? That we don't have anything written in here that covers. I got to have a dispute that's not covered here. So that's where the two men could bring the charge or bring the appeal and come to the group, and then they could convene a group to hear the problem or the claim. And it was called a grand jury. Today's maxims of law is, I think this is another typo, Chuck, January 14th. And we're discussing it on the 17th.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Precedent. Now, this is a tricky one. Precedent.
Really?
Before we get into it, I'm going to tell you what my mentor taught me. He says, now remember, if anybody asked you or was to bring in a precedent, he says you must object, unless it's going in your favor. But object and say, wait a minute, I have three problems with this. First, I was not a party to the proceedings. I wasn't made. I wasn't named. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it wasn't Chaplain Wehrman versus somebody as well. I wasn't added to the list in the case that you're referring to. Second, I didn't agree. No, I wasn't there. I wasn't a party to the case, and I did not agree. So how can it be a precedent for me? So you must be careful that you do not acquiesce to precedents that go against you.
Wow.
So you have to consent to them as if you were a party to the case. Precedent. It is not a new thing that prior statutes shall give place to the later ones. Does anybody want to talk about that?
It's not a new thing that prior statutes shall give place to later ones. Well, it seems like it's making an obvious statement. But you said it's tricky.
Let's come back to it. A particular case left unprovided for by statute must be disposed of according to the law as it existed prior to such statute. Confused again?
Yeah.
Things introduced contrary to the reason of law ought not to be drawn into a precedent. How that would sound to you?
Well, that should be at any time.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of, I can understand that one, can't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, no, how? Why would you take something that wasn't lawful and bend it around and use it and then say that's a precedent?
Mm-hmm.
That guy robbed the bank. Because he robbed the bank, I can.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it? Now, sometimes that's pretty obvious. Sometimes in situations in little legal arguments, that isn't obvious. And you have to know to look for that sort of thing. wanted certainty being allowed, established as a precedent, and infinity follow. That guy's name is Cook, incidentally. C-O-K-E. Cook.
Cook.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
I say, many a valid argument is followed from a false premise. Many a valid path has been taken following an absurdity being allowed. You know, you can't be... If one absurdity is mentioned, goodness gracious knows where all you can go. You can add more absurdity onto it. Okay. It is perilous to introduce new and untried laws. Now that's a pretty heavy statement there. So it's saying we shouldn't be making laws in areas we don't understand. And the understanding could be just administrative complications. For example, there's nothing in the Bible about installing a government healthcare system. It says you should have charities. You should take care of your brother. But it doesn't, you know, when you start saying, but I want to collect your money as a group and then use it to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perilous to introduce new and untried things. That, you know, that's kind of self-explanatory. I got to think of some examples. You know, the steam engine. Was that a new and untried thing?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what would the common law take care of it?
I don't follow you. Would the common law take care of it?
Yes. Were there enough provisions in the common law to allow the steam engine to come into existence and it have its natural light, you know, exploding and all?
Well,
suppose
I
it blew up through negligence.
All right.
Does common law handle that?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, correct. So, the new things it's talking about is new relationships, new rights, new remedies.
New relationships, new rights, new remedies.
New things, you know, the damage to the person, damage to the property. Rights and remedies. All right, let's go back to the top. And I really do have a trouble with this first one. It is not a new thing that prior statutes shall give place to later ones. It's like saying it replaced a prior statute. Can you use the prior statute as precedent? If the Constitution of the United States, by being going clear back to the people and being ratified, if it repealed the Articles of Confederation, can I now use the Articles of Confederation as a prior statute to make a decision with?
Can you repeat that?
I don't follow the logic on that either.
It is not a new thing. It's not. We're not facing something new and different here, folks, with what you've presented to me, the judge said, because it's been long standing that prior statutes shall give place to the later ones. The place in the law book where you look this thing up in this matter will have the new one in there, not the old one.
Exactly. What you're saying is the precedent is the earlier one, and that takes dominance over the newer one?
Hello? Timothy, I didn't quite hear you.
I said the older statute would take precedence over any new statute, or the older law or statute.
That when he says shall give place, we'll let the new one stand in line in its place.
So you're replacing it?
Yes.
Well, I guess that would depend on...
There's a new statute. If there's a new statute, it's sort of like, what if the guy forgot to... What if you went to trial basing it on a law that had been repealed?
Oh, okay. Well, that's one thing.
Well, you're using a precedent, something that preceded the new one.
Right, but if it was repealed...
It's no good.
Right.
It has to give way. It'll give place to the new one. We should be looking at the new one and not the old one. So it deals with what is not a precedent. Okay? The very best papers that you could ever write is when you say what it is and what it is not. Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Well, you didn't really interrupt me. I was thinking, and let's just say there's a trial by jury, and the jury decided that the older law made more sense. And so they chose to act the older precedent or older statute. Would that be legal then? Would that not make it law if the jury decided that it was law? It is we the people that make the law?
Yes. You see, my mentor really disapproved of precedents altogether. It's almost like the invention of the lawyers. Because what a precedent is the case decision. The case decision. I left one thing out. The most technical reason for not allowing a precedent in is the facts and circumstances in that case were not the same as the facts and circumstances in this case. We would have to try that whole thing using this facts and circumstances to see if that's a precedent. So precedents are more of a device than they are the law. And its acquiescence is used. Did somebody say something? Acquiescence is used to gain a precedent. Too heavy for you?
Not me.
Okay. So you have been taught that precedents count. And I'm telling you that more than likely they don't. If you know how to look at them.
Yes, I see your point.
Huh?
I see your point. I can always slip something through claiming it's a precedent and thereby sidetrack everything into another direction.
And sometimes they make great, big, significant moments in movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, dramatic moments. Victory versus defeat. on a surprising victory. But, you know, now, there's nothing wrong with the wrong law. You know, some of this is the wrong law being applied. That's not the same as precedent. You know, that law was repealed. Here's the new law. But that when they want it to go away a certain way, they can look at the old decisions and hope that it's so much work figuring out where it's different that you don't have time to figure it out. But the best thing is I wasn't there. I wasn't a party to it. And the facts and circumstances have yet to be proven they're the same. Whoops. Now, I let Chuck pick these things without telling me what he's going to pick. So some of these are tough.
I'm trying to pick some tough ones for you.
Is there anybody got any more questions on precedent?
No, I won't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
I'm sorry. The last one used 11. It was 11-foot pole, Will.
Oh, man.
Yep, the precedent had been set. My goodness. Statutory law leaves itself very easy to get precedents established in, or any codified law. Well, what should we do? Just stop the recording and maybe answer other questions or hang up for the day?
No,
yeah, stop it.
I'll go ahead and stop it. All right.